This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to the Arrowhead Addict Podcast. Please welcome your hosts, Patrick Allen and Matt Verderam.
Welcome into the Arrowhead Addict Podcast, Patrick Allen, Matt Verderam. We're here for your midweek Chiefs game preview. This is going to be a tough one, I think, Verderam, but how are you?
Good. Running around a little bit this morning, making sure my daughter gets her four-year-old shots and whatnot. But I'm looking forward to the games this week. I cannot believe it is already, what is it, week seven? Seems impossible. But we kick it off with Browns, Broncos, and then, you know, a couple of actual football teams play on Sunday when Kansas City and Tennessee get together.
Hey, it's everything you wanted out of your Thursday night. It's Case Keenum versus Teddy Bridgewater. And if things go poorly, maybe you get a Drew Lock appearance. I mean, you know, get kind of wild.
At some point, does the NFL just apologize to the fans? Like, before this game in Cleveland, they should just have a moment of silence for the sport of football. Yeah. They really should. Yeah, we're very sorry. It's Case Keenum against a banged up Teddy Bridgewater. And the Browns are missing half their team. And yet they're still favored, which tells you all you need to know about Denver. So not great, but it is what it is. I'm looking forward to quite honestly, this whole slate this week really kind of stinks. I mean, it really is not a good week of football. The only two games that I would say are good games, Baltimore and Cincinnati and Kansas City and Tennessee. I mean, if you want to say Colts, Niners, okay, but I mean, they both have losing records. I think those are really the two games.
Yeah, and you get a little bit of Dearness Johnson tonight too. There's six teams on them.
Bet your ass you know.
You've got six teams, I think, on a bye week in the fantasy communities. They're calling it Bye-mageddon. You got half the top running backs in the league are injured. It's just an absolute nightmare out there.
Correct.
Tough. And it's we've got a long season. There's an extra week to play. So it's I might have a little rough middle of the season here as teams are trying to take the long term approach and think about these guys that are hurt and saying, man, we got a long way to go. We got an extra game here. Let's just sit these guys in. I don't know what the Browns are going to do with Baker Mayfield. He's got a torn labrum. How do you say that?
Labrum.
I'm missing the R. And they're saying that can't be repaired without surgery. So I don't know what they're like. What are you going to do? Like, you're just going to throw him out there? And
I mean, you could put him in a harness and have him play through it. But I mean, if he wants to, which he apparently does. But at some point, if you're the Browns, like if you're thinking long term, just keep trotting him out there. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Maybe he can't hurt it any worse. I mean, it is torn. I don't know. Like maybe they just, it's one of those deals where it's like, well, it's a pain thing, which if he's playing well enough through it, fine, but he hasn't been playing well at all.
No. He's been having a little bit of a rough go since the first couple of weeks. So, but this isn't a Browns podcast. This is a Chiefs podcast. So let's start talking a little bit about this big game coming up. Titans have not been good this year so far, but they look to be turning a corner. They're getting a little bit healthy, and they get a big win last week against the Baltimore Ravens.
That's against the Bills,
right? The Bills. I'm sorry. It's early. I've had one cup of coffee. I apologize. It was the Bills. Yeah. I watched the game too. You think I would remember that? So let's talk about the Chiefs versus Derrick Henry, right? That's what everybody's concerned about. Listen, I want to just go on the record. I'm terrified of Derrick Henry. I always am. Every time the Chiefs play these guys and all these people on Twitter, you know, they come at me. Oh, we always take care of Derrick Henry. And I'm like, look, it ain't last year or it ain't 2 years ago. Have you watched this defense this year? He's running like he always is running over people, but listen, Derrick Henry, he's averaged 130.5 yards per game, which is clearly the most in the NFL. Bad news for you guys. The Chiefs have allowed 133 rushing yards per game. That's the sixth most in the NFL. Okay. What are you looking here in this matchup, Verderam?
So first of all, this idea that the Chiefs have always stopped Derrick Henry is a blatant lie. Okay, that's not true. It was true, thankfully, in the AFC Championship game where the Chiefs did a great job. They held him, I think, 69 yards in the game. He had 7 yards in the second half. That is true. People apparently forgetting the year before, but a couple months before that, the regular season, where Henry had 23 carries for 188 yards and 2 touchdowns, including a 68-yard touchdown run. Now, I take this, though, out of that game. That was the game, if you remember, that was the last game the Chiefs lost that year. They lost 35-32. It was a wild finish. Tannehill went 13 of 19 for a 181, two touchdowns. The Chiefs did everything imaginable to lose that game. They had it. They gave up a scoop and score. They gave up the 68-yard run to Henry. Okay, they gave up a late touchdown. They botched the field goal late. Then they had another field goal blocked, and they lost by 3 points. And that was the game that Mahomes was coming off of his knee injury, and he went nuts. He threw for 446 and three touchdowns. My feeling on this game is I can't imagine a world where Henry doesn't get his, essentially. Okay. I just can't. Unless the Chiefs employ a defense where they basically just saying, look, Tannehill can throw for 250, 300 yards. We don't care. Henry's just not going to run the ball, but then you open yourselves up. But I think if you're the Chiefs, I don't want to say that you don't care. But if you contain the passing game and Henry rushes for a 150, I don't know that you're losing the game because of that. Like, I really believe that if you're Spagnuolo, look, you don't want him running wild. Don't get me wrong. You don't want him going for 220. But if you hold him between 125 and 150, but you play well in the pass game, I think you're fine with that. Like, you know, everybody focuses on Henry, but if he goes for that and Tannehill throws for 220, who cares? They're not going to win the game based off that. They might win it because the Chiefs turn over 8 times, but they're not going to win the game because Henry does that. He's going to get his yards. If he doesn't, the Chiefs will blow them out. So I think you have to operate under the assumption that he's going to have a good game because he's Derek freaking Henry, and he always has a really good game. This year, I saw a stat earlier. He's obviously the leading rusher in the league. If you just took his yards after contact total, he would still be the leading rusher in the league. That's how
that's
dominant.
Ridiculous. That's maybe the craziest NFL stat I've ever heard.
Like that's where you're at. So by the way, so what do you take from that? Tackle him with more than one man. Like
yes.
you better bring a team. Because one guy is probably not tackling him very often.
Swarm to the ball. I think this is a big Willie Gay game. This is what you got this guy for. You need somebody who can move around that field, go sideline to sideline. That's what he's going to be in there for. Have Nick Bolton, have those guys go charging in there. And then you're going to need Tyrann Mathieu. You're going to need Willie Gay. You're going to need Juan Thornhill, the people that can move on this defense to come up and help, defend the rest of the field.
I'll tell you what, this is a game. I'll give you two names you're going to need in this game. The first of all, I'll just tell you, you're going to need the defensive line. They cannot be shoved off boxes. If he gets a full head of steam to the second level, bad news. But This is a Nick Bolton game. Like Nick Bolton's not a coverage backer. Nick Bolton is basically Reggie Ragland. And I want to say the Twitter account, I think it was Arrowhead Live, and I hope I'm right with this. They tweeted out, or at least retweeted, certainly. I know I saw it on their feed. They do a nice job covering the Chiefs, by the way. They tweeted out something with Henry in regards to, I'm trying to think how it was worded. In regards to Bolton. So he has 5 tackles for loss this year, which if you exclude sacks as a tackle for loss, is tied for the most in the NFL with Von Bell. So he's been, I hope I'm getting that right. I'll try to look that up and confirm that. But it was something where you looked at it and said, listen, he's making plays in the run game. You know, he's not a guy who's going to be who does much against the pass. He's not going to cover very well. He just doesn't have that lateral agility, but he's done a really nice job against the run getting downhill, and they're going to need him to get downhill. That is something in this game he's got to get done. And then I also look at a guy who everybody's been killing him. Dan Sorensen is going to be a big part of this game. And I know Chief fans go, oh God, why? Look, he's going to be playing. If Thornhill's starting, and he's going to be after last week, Sorensen's going to be in that dime linebacker role.
Right.
That's where he excels. Like that, he's good at that. Look, he's missed tackles, no question. But most of the tackles he misses are in space. If you remember that AFC title game, there was a couple of times he crushed Derrick Henry. Like that sounds weird to say, but he did it. They're going to need him and Bolton to be coming downhill and making those hits. That's going to be a big part of the way they defend against Tennessee this week.
Yeah, he's going to have to. I agree. And a lot of times you're right. He misses in space. And sometimes it looks like he's going for that big hit a little bit too much instead of just making the tackle. That's not you. You're not going to have too many big hits against Derrick Henry. So just, tackle the guy. Just keep your feet under you. Don't be doing what Tyrann Mathieu was trying to do on that sack where you come flying in. Just tackle him. And for the love of God, stop trying people everywhere across the NFL. Stop trying to tackle Derrick Henry by his shoulders.
Oh, you have no chance. You have no chance. You're like a child by hanging on to him at that point.
He's one of my favorite players to watch in the league. And it's obviously he's a great, great athlete, a great runner, but he just looks like he's playing football with children.
It's unbelievable.
He's enormous. I mean, it's just absolutely, especially when he gets into the secondary. I mean, you see these guys coming up, these corners and safeties coming up trying to tackle Derrick Henry. You got to just feel for them because
this
is unfair. It looks like a kid playing football with their dad.
No, absolutely. And by the way, I found the tweet. I want to give credit. It's Ben Hillman who tweeted out, one thing I've found to be an interesting note on Bolton. He's one of only two players on the top 20 list for tackles for loss, 5, that have also 0 quarterback hits. If you exclude sacks in the tackles for loss category, Nick Bolton and Von Bell are tied for tackles for loss leaders through 6 weeks. Not terrible. And so I think, you know, Ben's point there, and I agree with him, is, look, he has not done much in terms of getting pressure on the quarterback. You know, he's not a plus in the pass game, but he can be in the run game. He's been good at that. And so if I'm Spags this week, I'm telling him, hey man, get your rear end downhill, hit him. You need to be filling gaps and getting after him. That's going to be a big part of it. But you're right, Patrick, 100%. If you try to tackle him up high, you're dead.
Yeah.
You have no chance. I don't know how many people watched after the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, they came out the America's Game show, but they also had that Times R show where they talked to the coaching staff. And in that show, Spagnuolo talked about the AFC Championship game, and he mentioned that their motto that week was kill the engine, which means hit them low. Got to hit them low. His engine is just like, you got to hit those legs. I would expect that they're going to, you know, after the success they had in that AFC Championship game doing that, I would suspect that they will have a very similar, if not the exact same message this weekend.
And they need to be careful about over-pursuing as well.
Yes, because he can run.
Yeah, you can't. And you, what happened to the Bills, I think he had like a 75-yard run. That's the thing. He's gonna convert. He's going to move the chains. You got to try to tackle him, especially on early downs. But you can't go crazy and then find yourself out of position because that's it. It's over. He's gone. If he gets through that first line of defense and he's out there and it's him and Juan Thornhill in space, forget
it. It's over. It's over.
It's done.
No, yeah. Did you see the run he had on Monday Night Football?
Yeah.
He got up to 21 miles per hour.
It was faster
than Tyreek Hill's ran this year.
Like, it's unnettling that a man that large can run that fast.
He is a physical freak. He is a lot, actually mentioning Tyreek Hill, he's a lot like Tyreek Hill in this sense. Like, Tyreek Hill's so damn fast that he makes other NFL elite players look like they're slow, which is impossible. Like if Tyreek Hill runs a 40 against me, I'm going to look like I'm running in mud, mostly because I am. To run that fast, to be that fast compared to other NFL players is just bonkers. And the same is true with Henry. Like, to be that ridiculously strong and fast compared to other guys in the league, it's just insane. Like, that's impossible to be that big NFL. So again, with the Chiefs, that defensive line, you got to slow him down. You have to get a hand on him, grab the jerk. Yeah. I mean, you cannot let him get a full head of steam, because you can blame Sorensen and Thornhill all you want. If he gets a full head of steam at those guys and they make the tackle, they deserve a raise.
Yeah. Like,
that is not a spot you want to be in as a defense.
Speaking of the defensive line, We're anticipating that Chris Jones will play and that he'll be moving back inside. There's been rumbles of that and media circles as well. He was dancing around on the practice field yesterday, and obviously his wrist is hurt, so he could have been dancing 2 weeks ago. But it seems like he's going to be back, and boy, do they need him for this game. I was watching Pro Football Focus was doing a Chiefs Titans preview just this morning, actually. And forgive me because I don't know the gents' names, but they were talking about how, you know, it's just not a net positive to have Chris Jones on the outside. And the point that made was they're like, look, you know, he's a really good pass rusher inside. You move him to the outside and he's a passable edge rusher, right? So, and then you've got nothing inside. At least, you know, when you move him inside, you've got a top tier pass rusher in the middle, and you figure out the edge, you know, another time. Obviously, the Chiefs didn't get Whitney Mercilus. It sounds like I don't know if he's officially signed with the Packers, but that sounds like where he's going. So Chiefs are going to have to run with the horses they have right now unless they make a trade, but it ain't going to help them this week. Can Chris Jones change things up front for the Chiefs? We know he can in the passing game, but what about the run game?
Well, he can help because Jerron Reed's been a complete zero. So he can help that. You know, they probably won't do this because they really never do. But I would almost love to see Spagnuolo go to a bare front in this game, which basically just means you're hat on a hat with the offensive lineman. It's 5 down linemen, essentially. And you could go 3 down linemen and have 2 guys stand it up over the tackles. But the point is you basically make everybody get blocked one-on-one up front. And look, the downside of that is if you get creased, then you got two backers and you're probably also only playing four DBs. Okay, but I wouldn't mind seeing the Chiefs do some of that and play inside with Wharton and Jones and Noddy and Reed and Saunders and just rotate those guys. But regardless, let's just say they play the normal scheme. Yeah, I think Jones should kick inside. You know, we've talked about throughout the year. I didn't have a problem with them trying it, experimenting with it. And he had two sacks against Cleveland. So, you know, I think there's something there, but I think you just make that more of a package than you do the base level defense. All told, look, I think if you're Kansas City, you kick him in, you play Dana and Clark on the outside. I've killed Clark all year long. Everybody has. One thing with Frank Clark he can do is play the run. So if Dan is very disciplined. I think he's the most disciplined than they have. I do think they have a shot this week. Also, by the way, it has to be said, Tennessee is really banged up. Now, the Chiefs have played some really banged up offensive lines this year and still been bullshit. So let's factor that in. Okay. I mean, Philadelphia was missing four guys. The Chiefs couldn't do anything. Right. But they're missing guy. Now, Taylor Lewan, thankfully, is okay. That looked actually really scary. I'm going to put on a stretcher. He has a concussion. We'll see if he clears by Sunday. If he doesn't, he's their star left tackle. He wouldn't be playing. They're missing guys. I mean, Julio Jones might not play. So this is a defense that, if you're the Chiefs, you're trying to get right. Jones and Ward are practicing. Looks like there's a good shot they'll play Sunday. You might be on the right side of this thing health-wise. But, yeah, they're going to need Jones to be big. They're going to need him. And you know what? What you need from Jones is just a couple of negative plays.
Yep.
A couple of, hey, drop for a 2-yard loss. Get a sack. Force an intentional grounding. That's the, talk to anyone in the NFL plays on offense. That a lot of times, those are drive killers. Like that, it changes the whole composition of your play calling. Now it's 2nd and 13. Well, it's not 2nd and 7 now. It's a lot harder to call plays out of that. So yes, the long answer I gave, the short answer, yes, you can make a difference.
Now let's talk about Ryan Tannehill versus the Chiefs defense. Now, just to give you some stats here on offense, coming into this game, the Titans are 11th in offense, but they're 24th in defense and 25th in passing and then 3rd in rushing. So Ryan Tannehill has not been great this year. So since 2019 as a starter, so from 2019-2020 season, 67 completion percentage, 8.5 yards per attempt, 2.1 passing touchdowns per game, only 0.6 giveaways per game, and 111 passer rating. This year, 63.4% completion percentage. He's only averaging 7.3 yards per attempt, 1 touchdown per game, 1.2 giveaways per game, and an 86.8 passer rating. So he's been bad. They've had injuries to Julio Jones, AJ Brown. They finally got him going last week. There are weapons on this offense, but they're banged up, especially up front. Derrick Henry, I think they come into this game and they really try to probe with Henry. A lot of Henry early, see what we can get against this Chiefs defense. If the Chiefs can make a couple stops, how do they go about defending Tannehill?
So I think in this game, if Jones doesn't play, and he was out yesterday with the hamstring, he left the game late on Monday night with a hamstring injury. If he doesn't play, what I would do in this game, I would double A.J. Brown this entire game. I'd double him the entire game on passing downs. Okay, I wouldn't double him early. I wouldn't double him first. But second down and long, third down, I'd double him, especially on third down. If Julio Jones doesn't play, they have nobody else. Like, there is nobody. Their leading tight end is Anthony Firkser. He's 86 yards. Okay? They'll throw to the backs here and there. Jeremy McNichols also didn't practice, by the way. He's got 160 yards receiving, so they will throw to the back occasionally. Derrick Henry is 138. But they don't have, you know, if A.J. Brown has 221 yards this year, which actually really is not much, but he did play very well in the second half against Buffalo. Chester Rogers, who also is banged up and didn't practice on Wednesday, had 186 yards. He is their third leading receiver. Like, in this game, you got to get pressure on Tannehill. Tannehill's been sacked 20 times. He was not sacked once against Buffalo. I thought that was the downfall of their game. They couldn't get home. The Chiefs have got to get home. And of course, we know the Chiefs are the worst pass rush in the NFL right now. That's got to change. This might be the first week all year where they actually have everybody, because they've not had that to this point. I think the only game where Jones and Clark both played was the Baltimore game, I believe. And that's been it.
Sounds right.
So, you know, look, this is a game where you need all hands on deck. You really do. But Tannehill's not been great. You already bared out the numbers. I mean, 6 touchdowns, 4 picks. So what? That's not keeping you up at night. He's been okay. I don't want to make him out like he's been awful, but they do not have secondary weapons. Their line has been awful to this point in the year. So look, I will. Well, I know we're going to get the offense in a second, but I think with Tannehill, you try to take Brown away as much as you can. And by the way, the Chiefs did a good job of that against McLaurin with Washington. Now, that's a different offense. I get it. McLaurin did nothing against Kansas City. They did a very good job of saying, you're not beating us with him. And it ended up with Washington doing nothing in the air. Nothing. And Washington does not have a great offense, but they never, to this point in the year, it had a day that poor. So I think for the Chiefs, especially if Julio doesn't play, you take A.J. Brown away. You force him to go elsewhere and you play man coverage.
I agree. I say go into this game, play man coverage, maybe go a little single high. You can't get beat. These guys are dangerous. You can't get beat, but you can't let Henry eat you alive either. You know, that's one way to do it is, and the Titans might not be afraid to run into stacked boxes, but I'm taking my chances with Ryan Tannehill throwing. I would rather have him throwing the ball than Derrick Henry running it, because if he's throwing it, things can happen. Balls get tipped, balls get dropped, and that can end a drive and get the defense off the field. Whereas, you know, Derrick Henry, he's probably not going to fumble. He's probably going to pick up 4 or 5 yards per carry. If I was the Titans, I'd run every damn play in this game, but they're not going to do that. So if I'm the Chiefs, I would invite them to throw the ball as much as I possibly can and see if my secondary can hold up against this offense, because the Chiefs are going to have to put up a lot of points, and they should be able to put up a lot of points in this game. But I think that this one could be close. But I'm not scared of Ryan Tannehill, especially this year. Let's move it on to the Chiefs offense. So here's an interesting stat I came across on a NFL Game Pass, which, by the way, it's a little pricey, but I really recommend NFL Game Pass. If you guys want to educate yourselves a little bit more on the game, get access to the coaches' film, rewatch things like maniacs like me and Verderam do after the game. It's a really great thing, and they've got really interesting game previews and stats. And this one's from them: Patrick Mahomes' first 6 games of his MVP season in 2018, 5-1 record. This year, 3-3. Completion percentage 2018, 63.7%. This year, 69. Passing yards per game, MVP season, 310. This year, 314. Touchdowns. Guess how many he had in his MVP season? 18. You know how many he's got this year? 18. 4 interceptions then versus 8 interceptions now. And his passer rating that year was 112. This year, it's 103. He's basically having his MVP season again with a better completion percentage and a few bad, couple bad interceptions on him and a couple bad luck interceptions.
Right.
If you've been checking all of the stats, the Chiefs have punted 10 times this year. 10.
Yeah.
That's it. And all of this with these ridiculous turnovers. So in a game like this, the Chiefs can't afford to get back on their bullshit. They did it for a quarter versus Washington and almost cost them. You turn the ball over on your end of the field against Derrick Henry, good night. They can't have any turnovers, and they have to take advantage. If the defense gets a stop, Chiefs got to get off. They got to get out there and they got to score a touchdown.
So here's my bold prediction of the week. And key the word bold. If the Chiefs don't turn the ball over, they'll score on every possession.
That is a bold prediction.
The football over, they will score every single time of the football. Because you reeled off Tennessee's defensive ranking earlier. That's including games that they've played this year against the Jets, against Jacksonville, and against a really banged up Colts team. Like, they have not exactly. Now, they played the Bills and the Cardinals. They've played Seattle as well. And guess what? Their defense got annihilated in those 3 games. So 2-1 in them, to give them credit for that. But they got annihilated in those games. The Chiefs have a better offense than all those teams. If Kansas City does not turn the ball, they will score every single time they have the ball. That's my prediction. I think the Chiefs literally could score 45 points in this game, because the Titans do not have Christian Fulton, who's their second-year corner. He's on IR right now. Caleb Farley, who was their first-round pick this year, played a lot, tore his ACL on Monday night's game. He's out for the year. I got to tell you something right now. You want somebody to watch this game? Jack Rabbit Jenkins, formerly known as Janoris Jenkins, changed his name legally. Jack Rabbit. He has been awful. Like, awful. If he is in man coverage, I don't care who he's covering. You watch the Chiefs go at him relentlessly on Sunday afternoon. They will throw at him all night. The only guy in their secondary who's a plus player is their star safety, Kevin Byard. He's been there for a long time. He's a very good player. Their linebackers are not good in coverage. But Kansas City, I feel confident in saying this. They will absolutely destroy this defense. They cannot beat themselves. They can't take a bunch of penalties, and they cannot turn the ball over. Their offense this year, she's had 14 turnovers as a team. 13 of those have come via the offense in the one return fumble against Buffalo. Of those 13, 11 have been on the plus side of the field in opponent territory. They were going to score. Like, they were going to score again. Like, think about this team's averaging over 30 points a game and has 11 turnovers on the plus side of the field. You know what this team would be averaging if they didn't turn the ball over? They'd seriously be at 40. So that's the key. To me, that's the whole game this week. That is the entire game. They turn the ball over, they're going to lose. They don't turn the ball over, they're going to win. I don't even care what the defense does. If they don't turn the ball over, they will win this game.
And we talked about this in our post-game show after last week. You know, that what you think is happening at the beginning of the season and what it's going to be at the end of the season in the NFL, there's always some big swings. Teams that are looking really great now, come December, it's going to be totally different. And the Chiefs are one of these teams that people who are only casually paying attention to them, they look and, oh, Mahomes is having a down year. Look at all these interceptions. They just look at a couple box scores. They don't look at the efficiency of the offense, all those things. They look at the record. Oh, Chiefs are in trouble. And then all of a sudden you end up in December and Mahomes has, you know, 40 some touchdowns and the Chiefs have gone on, ripped off a winning streak, and they're talking about them as Super Bowl contenders. They have not been good, but to your points, things could change quick. And if they cut out those turnovers, all of a sudden you're looking back at the beginning of the season and being like, wow, this team was a juggernaut all along. And they were just a sleeping giant. For those of you out there in the chat, thank you so much for supporting us. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button if you haven't already. We've only got 7 of those. So we got 51 of you watching it. Easy. Click it. 51. Let's go for 51 on the thumbs up. We appreciate that. It'll help more people find this preview heading into the game and more educated Chiefs fans. Good Lord, if you've been watching what's been going on with some of the super fans, we need some more educated Chiefs fans out there. Subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet. And the last thing I'm going to ask of you, because we're just coming up to that, is give us your game predictions in the chat. What's your final score predictions? We're going to give you ours. We need yours. Want to get you all involved. And of course, those of you listening to the audio version of this later, sorry, but check out the YouTube version if you want to participate live. Any lingering thoughts for you, Verderam, on offense, defense, before we get to our final score predictions?
No, we've covered it. I just think this game is going to come down to turnovers. They cannot turn the football over. If they don't turn the football over, they will score a ton of points. Defensively, look, this doesn't take a rocket scientist. Like, this basically comes down to you're going to have to tackle. You have to gang tackle with Henry. And I really think they should, especially if Julio doesn't play. If Julio plays, it's different. If he doesn't play, they should double AJ Brown on every obvious passing down and make Tannehill throw the ball. And I would play man. None of this zone crap where you can throw to a spot on the field. Play man. Play Fenton. I don't care if Ward's back. Play Fenton. Play Ward and Snead with him. Man up. Double over the top of Brown and say, you want to beat me with Chester Rogers, you go right ahead. You go right ahead. You throw it in there, big boy. I would challenge them all day to throw against my corners one-on-one.
Love it. I think that's the exact way to approach it. If they beat you that way, God bless them. And then the Chiefs have to take advantage on offense. They can't have any of these boneheaded situations where you're getting tip pass interceptions or fumbles or anything like that. Go out there. You're a Ferrari. Play like one. All right, let's get into our final score prediction. So we'll start with some of you guys out there. Centaur says 42-24 Chiefs. I like that. That's around what I'm thinking. We got Dre out there in the chat. He says 38-30 Chiefs. I like all these Chiefs are going to win. Christian, 41-27 Chiefs. That's a very good one. If anybody else got a prediction, there's 48 of you out there watching. Kick it into the chat. We want to hear it. But let's go to Matt Verderam. What's your final score prediction for this one?
I think it's high scoring, but I feel that the Chiefs are going to put up their highest output of the year. I think the Chiefs are going to score 45 points in this game. And I really hope they don't make a fool out of me. But I think offensively, if they don't turn the ball, I just don't think Tennessee can stop them. I really don't. I don't think Tennessee has any answer for him in the secondary. I think the Chiefs can win up front. They got a couple decent pass rushers, Harold Landry, Jeffrey Simmons up front. Danico Autry is a good player. They have Bud Dupree, although he's not done well this year. I think the Chiefs will handle him. So I think the Chiefs will score 45. I think the defense will get a turnover in this game. They make a play. I think the Chiefs win this game 45-27.
I love it. I love it. And I love the defense can go in there and hold the Titans with Derrick Henry and some of those weapons to under 30 points. I'll be thrilled about that as well. Lucas S. says Chiefs 43 Titans 31. I think that's a good one. I'm gonna go right there with you. My final score prediction for this game is Chiefs 42, Titans 31. I think that they're just going to get a, just going to be one step ahead of the Titans the entire game. And I'll just repeat my mantra. If you win the toss, take the ball, go down and score a touchdown. Andy's not going to listen to me, but that's what I want to see happen. I want this offense on track from the start. We'll see. We'll see. If you're out there, hit that subscribe button on the YouTube channel. So listen, here's the schedule. All right. We'll be back live on YouTube Sunday night, usually around 7 Arrowhead time, 7 p.m. for our post game show. That's roughly the time that we're always doing this, unless, of course, it's a Monday night football game or it's a Sunday night football game, and we don't get any sleep on those nights, but we still go live. And then, of course, Matt and Sterling will be back on Tuesday with their version of this podcast. And then we'll be here every Thursday morning at about this time to give you a preview of the game. So make sure you check everything out. Verderam, I got to tell you, man, I think I'm starting to put on weight, and I think it's all because of the Count Chocula.
I had to stop.
Yeah.
I got to a point
I can't
where
do it.
I finished the last box I had in the house, and I said, my God, I've got to dry out. I mean, it's just gotten to a point where
Count Chocula rehab.
It's like 12:30 in the morning. I'm sitting there eating Count Chocula, watching, you know, Friday Night Lights for the fifth time on Netflix. Yeah. It's a disaster.
I'm doing that too. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like at some point my wife's going to come down the stairs and just look at me and just serve me papers. So yeah, I had to,
she's not even going to do it. They're just going to be on the table.
Which is right. She's right to do it.
She'll be gone.
But it's, listen, you got Halloween coming up next week. Of course, everyone knows, I'm sure at this point, I have a 4-year-old daughter who is very excited to go trick-or-treating. And if you don't think that I'm getting my percentage of that, you have no idea. So
that's the parent tax, dad tax. Right.
Plus, you know, I go shopping for the candy we're going to give out. We live in a neighborhood where a ton of kids are going to come. And so I know that, listen, we probably could get away with buying 2 bags and every kid would be taken care of. I'm buying 3 bags. That way, you know, oh, look at that. A whole bunch of extra candy. What's to be done about this? And then the Chiefs play November 1st. They're off on Halloween. They play the Monday night. So I'll eat all the candy during the game.
My plan is to be, I don't know how many kids are going to come by. We just bought this house, but I'm going to get a bunch of candy. I'm going to have the good candy and the bad candy. I'm going to be like, what's his face from Gladiator with the thumbs up and thumbs down, right? So, you know, you come up, I don't like the costume. You're not getting any of the Reese's stuff. I'm going to buy some Necco wafers.
Oh,
remember those? It's like, basically Tums with a little bit of sugar. It's Necco wafers for the kids' costumes I don't like. I'm going to be that guy. Did you ever, when you were trick or treating, when you were a kid, did you ever go up to the house with the lazy people who would just put out the bowl of candy with the sign and be like, please only take one? And like, you were lucky if when you saw that sign that the bowl had anything left in it. He's the first kid to come up there.
I got to tell you, if I saw that sign, the next kid coming, there was going to be no chocolate in that bowl.
That's right. Yeah. Leave them those, like the suckers, you know, those crappy suckers with the foil around them. Those were terrible. They were always broken before you even got them open.
There's nobody worse than the kid in the old bill. Give like a pencil. What are you doing? Just, yes, you know, like, hey, here's like
fruit.
Like what? Like, just come on. But the best people, I want to shout out everybody who does this. People who give out full size candy bars.
Yeah.
You people have a special place in heaven waiting for you. Okay.
Yeah.
That stuff is, we have like 3 people in the neighborhood who do that. And if you don't think I'm hitting all those people on Halloween, you got everything coming. I'm hitting twice.
How many different costumes do you have so that you can go back?
it's so good. It's amazing. Yeah. I love it. Give out good candy to the kids. Don't be the person who gives out an apple. If I can go get a damn apple. Okay.
Right.
Like, it's an apple, for Christ. Give a Crunch bar. Give some Reese's.
Yes.
I know we got to get out of here because I know you got a hard out at 10:30, but quickly, last thing, what is your favorite candy to get on Halloween? And what's the one that you were always disappointed when you got?
Oh, anytime I got like full size candy bars, of course, anytime I got a Reese's cup.
Phenomenal.
I was just over the moon. And the fact that when they started coming out with the pumpkins, like that's probably the one, right? You get one of those on Halloween. Absolutely incredible. But I would have to say what you usually got were the little foil wrapped Reese's cups. And those are my absolute favorite. How about you?
So I'm with you on the Reese's cup. It's the best there is. Okay. Especially when you get like the full size one. Amazing. The one though, the thing that I can't stand people do, those zero bars. What the hell's wrong with you?
Oh, I like the zero bar. I like the zero bar. White chocolate. You got the nougat in there. It's an underrated candy bar.
And I love white chocolate, but I don't like the zero bars.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. You know, nothing with coconut.
Heath is also bullshit. Like why?
I like Heath.
Oh, come on.
I like Heath. No, you got it. Nothing with coconut though. I don't want coconut.
I just. It's like when people give out, not the Almond Joy, but the other one, the Mounds bar.
Oh, Mounds. God, like, old man candy.
Like, what Werther's the hell's wrong original? With you? You know, give me a whatchamacallit. Give me 100 grand. Give me Crunch. Grand. Give me Twix. Mm-hmm. Give me Reese's. Give me Kit Kat. All those things. Okay. I'm actually not a huge Snickers guy, but I can't blame anybody who gives out Snickers because Snickers is an iconic candy. But like these people who give out, I'll actually switch from the zero because the zero, I actually do like white chocolate. The Mounds bar, you're a disgraceful human being. If you went out and already bought your candy and you bought Mounds bars for kids, you're a hideous monster. Throw it in the trash. Go back to Walgreens.
Scumbags.
Be a human being. Yeah, my God. Yeah. Who are you as a person?
Yeah.
Be a person and go get those kids the Reese's they deserve. They're kids, damn it. It's been a tough year for everybody.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we got to get out of here. I got a hard stop. Thank you guys so much for showing up on a Thursday morning. We will see you back here on Sunday night, hopefully, after a really important game for the Chiefs. I got to win this one after a Chiefs victory. Thank you for your support. Leave us 5 stars on Apple iTunes. And as always, go Chiefs.